I'm Toby. I've did this a few times. Makes me nervous every time. Not too bad today. So when me and Mitch were asked, he's going to do it in a couple weeks. She said, "Are you going to be ready to do one?" And I said, "Yeah, just sign me up." And then Mitch all week has been saying how, what's it say in the Bible that we're not supposed to prepare? So, I prepared just a little. Pam asked me if I prepared, and I prepared a little. She didn't ask a lot, or, you know, because most of what I have to say is just stuff that's on my heart. I usually will come up here with a piece of paper that has what I want to say on it, and I never look at it anyway, because that's how God works, you know. He leads, you know, we're sheep, so we just follow him around if you're in tune with him enough. But I started life like everybody else, you know, and I've noticed it, that you don't have to teach a kid to be bad. You know, they're natural at it. You just put a couple kids in a room and, you know, nobody teaches you how to lie. Nobody really teaches you how to steal. You know, you hide stuff from when you're little. And you tell fibs, you know, at the rip, pretty much, you know. And I'm convinced that's because we're born with a hole in our hearts, you know. And I know I am, and I believe all of us are. When we come up, we have a hunger in for something. You know, there's something we need. We want more. We have to have it, you know. And some of us get that under control. And a lot of us don't. And a lot of us end up in trouble. And end up on the wrong side of the street, and end up incarcerated, and end up having bad lives, you know, because we never get it. You know, some of our friends do, and we make fun of them for getting a wife and having kids and settling down and not partying with us anymore. And I did that, you know, for 46 years of doing what I wanted when I wanted to. So I met Gonza Lee and Mick Lamont, Bob Worley, Carl, 3 years and 20 days ago. And, it was a life-changing event for me. The kindness of strangers, it blew me away. I cried for like at least an hour straight when I met these cast of characters, I could say. They took me in and they didn't know me and they gave me a chance. You know, they, I guess that's a Christian thing to do, you know. Always, you know, you can't hold the past against us. You know, and it actually turns into our greatest weapon, you know. Our past is, it's very valuable to me, the things. It keeps me on the path I am now, and I thank all them guys for starting me on the journey to this, and I didn't, it was 3 years ago, but I'm only sober for about a year and 7 months, so I didn't get it, you know. I knew what to do, and then the real world, you know, when you're in a halfway house, it's kind of in between, you know. It's a safe haven. It's, if you use it and fake it, it can be just another crutch for a temporary fix on a permanent, you know, a permanent problem. And I didn't get to the root of my permanent problem because other things took precedence, like jobs and girls, and I was right back to that, realizing I knew I had a hole, and I was trying to fill it with other substances, whether it be drugs, women, cars, chaos. I love the chaos. I like to vandalize when I was out there, just wanting destruction, you know. And I was pretty bad. I was a very bad person. I went to the same jail 27 times, all misdemeanor, stupid stuff, you know. I'm lucky I didn't get caught for some of the things I did. You know, if we all got caught for everything we did, none of us would be here right now, probably. Carl would. Be pretty lonely talking to yourself over here.
You don't know me.
I know you enough. Jesus told me about you. And he said you're a good boy. So I always, you know, filled this hole that I had for other things. And I started doing it again in recovery. And it didn't last long, you know, because I still had an addictive mindset and a vengeful one. And I've said it before the first time I spoke, like if somebody did something to me, I had to get them back. I have to do it, but I have to do it worse than what they did to me, because that's the kind of guy I am. And then they retaliate, and then I got to one-up that. And it's just a constant cycle of doing that to each other, you know. And so I fell back in that. But when I fell back in it, I had the seed. It was planted in me. And it started growing, but then I shut off the light. You know, you got to have light to grow. And I shut that off because I was more worried about the world, you know. He who is in the world, not good. So God is so awesome that he crushed all that really quick because he gets jealous, you know. He likes to be number one in your life, and he should be number one in your life because he's a miracle maker, a way maker. He is a restoring God, and he'll take it all away, but he can give it all back, you know. And he wants to give it all back in his time. That's the crazy thing. I thought it was my time, you know. And I didn't get it until God wanted me to get it. I wouldn't have got it 3 years ago because that wasn't the plan that he wrote for me. He wrote for me to do one more massive act of self-destruction. And I did it in grand fashion like I always do. You know, like we all do, most of us. You know, if you're going to go big, what stays in Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, all that stuff. And that once again became my credo, you know, of it's all about me. And like Lyle has said a lot about your lot in life and settling. And I've heard it before I was out, and I used it, in a negative way. I said my lot in life might be to die a drug addict's death because I just can't get it. I can't live up, and this is where I was massively wrong, to what people think I should be doing, because I was worried about what people think I should be doing. And I don't need to know, you know. I learned a new trick. I don't have to care what people think. I only need to care about what God thinks and what God wants. Because if I do that, everything else falls into place. So I went on one last rip and bender and hurt many people because, you know, they thought I was going to get it. You know, I was doing so good and I was turning my life around, and then I bombed. Just like, you know, a couple of them suspected. You know, whenever we're doing good, and it says it in the Bible somewhere between Genesis and Revelation, that when we're doing good, there's always a hater, you know. It says in the Bible, haters be hating, you know, especially if you're doing it in the name of the Lord, which is the best way to do it, you know. Some expected me to fail. Some were hoping I wouldn't, and I made some of them right and proved some of them wrong. But the last time out, I was in tune with God. I had my Bible at the meth house. I had my Jesus calling at the meth house. And I guess it's better to have some weapons if you're going to go into one of them places, you know. I don't know if God likes that, but it brought me back to where I'm at now. You know, I read a lot of these two in here over and over, and I listened to a lot of music, Christian music, that was about hurts and pains and stuff like that. And they're actually tools of God to teach us lessons. And I learned a great lesson, and I hope and I pray that I have it this time. Like I said, I'm only a year and 6 months sober, a year and 7 months sober. There's people that have been 22 years sober, 13 years sober, and you lose it all in a second. So I pray on the daily that that doesn't happen to me. And people want reassurance. Mm-hmm. People that I know, they want reassured that I'm never going to do drugs again. And I think that if I say that I've made the victory, that I'll get too overconfident. And I know I do have the victory in God, but being a human and a mortal and not knowing what the future holds for me, I just can't bring myself to say something like that. Because I don't want to lie again. You know, I was a liar my whole life. So I just have to be honest with people and let them formulate what they think about me and brush it off, you know. All the negative. I get a lot of negative because I was 6 months sober and started running the 13-step house. And that's not a lot of sobriety to be watching over 40 guys. I mean, it was the setup for failure. And I had God at the forefront, so I've been there a year, and the place is going great, and the reputation's turning around, and many people are getting sober, and it's nothing, it's not my doing, you know. God's the one that put me there, so I just follow him. I ask him to separate the sheep, the goats and the sheep, and he does it. Every time I do, we lose a person and get a person. It's a constant cycle. It was very disheartening when I first started because I hate seeing people go back out. And I hate people not calling me and telling me, and the worry that I go through when somebody leaves. And I'm kind of so used to it now that I'm becoming numb. You know, my sympathy has went down because I can't save everybody. You know, there's nothing I can really do. If you want to go back out and do drugs again, I cannot stop you. I just pray for you to come back someday alive, you know, because they don't all come back. I was one of them, but I called. I said, hey, I'm going to get high, and I'm not going to lie, and I'll be back in a couple days. And they said, why don't you stay away for 30 days? And I said, dang it, I really needed to get back there. I knew it. God put it on my heart that I had to, and I had to do it at the 13th Step House. There was no Freedom House. There was no mission. I knew where I had to go. And 38 days later, I got in by the grace of God and started my road, you know, my journey. And I've been good ever since. And me and Mitch were talking, and the spiritual experience of being able to see God moving in your life instead of in the difference between when you're doing it and then you look back at the past and you can see him, it's so much better when you can see it unfolding in front of your eyes. You know, the things he does for you, that he wants to do for you. You know, he's got a endless supply of anything that you need, and all you have to do is ask for it. You don't even really have to ask for it. In my case, I never asked for anything. I asked for chains to be broken on you guys, for addictions, for the softening of your guys' hearts, for a fire to ignite, for the burning of his love, you know, because that's what somebody's prayer for me, probably, because I didn't pray to get sober. I'm sure that was my mom and her church and people that cared about me. people that knew the only one that could actually break my addiction was Jesus Christ, you know. And I'm so thankful for them people. They saved my life, you know. Jesus saved my life because he's got more in store for me. And I'm going to read a couple things. You know, since I didn't prepare, I'm probably going to jump all over the place. But that's all right. You'll get over it. I'll start with Jesus Calling. I don't know if anybody knows Jesus Calling book. It is a daily. What is it, Mitch? Daily meditation book. And it is said, when you read it, is it as if Jesus would talk to you. And he likes to tell you some stuff. So I have some that are fitting towards me and probably will match something for you guys too, because, I mean, we're all designed from the same cloth, you know. Especially us here, we tend to have some trouble in our past, all of us, you know, except Carl. this one's my second favorite, and it's June 14th. It's on page 173. If you ever get this book and want to check it out, Jesus says, "I have loved you with everlasting love before time began." I love you with everlasting love. Before time began, I knew you. For years, you swam around in a sea of meaninglessness, searching for love, hoping for hope. All that time, I was pursuing you, aching to embrace you in my compassionate arms. When the time was right, I revealed myself to you. I lifted you out of that sea of despair and set you down on a firm foundation. Sometimes you felt naked, exposed to the revealing light of my presence. I wrapped an ermine robe around you, my robe of righteousness. I sang you a love song whose beginning and end are veiled in eternity. I infused meaning into your mind and harmony into your heart. Join me in singing my song. Together, we will draw people out of the darkness and into my marvelous light. And that is strikes me so much, because that's what I was doing. I was drowning in a sea of meaninglessness. There was no sense to anything I did out there. You know, I was doing it for nothing. I was doing it for nobody. You know, I was just doing it because that's my desires run amok. You know, I didn't have them in check. I didn't know how to get them in check because I didn't believe. You know, and somebody got me to believe. You know, they were tools of God, and they spoke just the right words, and it struck a chord in my heart, and it was Fred, guy's name was Fred. When I came back, a Fred guy, and I didn't think about it when it first happened, and then one day I was tried to text him. I hope I haven't told this story before. But how God works is he puts the right people in your path at the perfect time, you know, his time. And sometimes he'll speed it up for you. So I tried to text this dude that I wanted to get a hold of him to thank him for saving my life. And I was texting the wrong number. So the guy I was trying to get a hold of never knew I was trying to get a hold of him. Half hour later, I walked down the street to get some McDonald's, and the air conditioner was broken. So I'm like, it's too hot in here. I'm going to go to Taco Bell. And this guy lives two counties away. And I'm in Fort Wayne, and I step in the Taco Bell parking lot as he's pulling into it. And to me, that is divine, God-oriented, you know, date with a destiny. And I run over to his truck, and I'm crying. And I hope I don't cry now, but it don't matter. And I said, "Hey, did you get my text?" And he said, "No." He's like, "What number do you have for me?" And I didn't have his number right. It was a digit off. I probably got it when I was high. So I got his number right, and I told him what he did for me. And I thanked him, and then I bought him some Taco Bell. He asked me if He's like, you want to go in? I own a business. I'll buy you Taco Bell. I said, well, you want to go in? I'll buy you Taco Bell. I'm homeless. But she saved my life. I was in a temporary home, you know. I was still down on my luck. But there was, he just came at the perfect time. And I seen it, God, right then. And I texted and called everybody. You wouldn't believe it. I had to tell everybody the story. That's why I figured I told all you guys. Probably sent a group text, you know. And it was such a great day. You know, I didn't shut up about it. Kind of like I do a few things. And I realized, you know, that I went through all the things in my life because of scripture in this book. It tells me why I did. And then I've read the book a lot. And it's hard to read for me sometimes. You know, especially when I first got into it, I didn't understand a lot of it. But I got this here Smart Christian book, and it breaks it down for you down below. So if you do get a Bible and want to know a little bit more and not have to have somebody tell you every time they make them, it's a life application study Bible. It tells you what it is, and then it breaks it down. And I hope it's somebody that is smart telling me what it means. You know, that's why I seek out people with experience, you know. Don't take your God news, the facts about Jesus and God, from somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. Because that can backfire on you big time. If you get the wrong beliefs in your head, I think I kind of had it. I used to cling to Romans 7:14, I think, the sin within me. I latched onto that, and I used that for a little while, blaming, I said, it's not me doing this. It's the sin within me. I can't control it. It says so in the Bible. Because I didn't read a little bit further. It said, with Jesus Christ in me, I can control it. Oh, I left that part out. Maybe I should have read the whole thing instead of finding one little piece that I wanted to use to my advantage, you know. So I stopped doing that. I stopped, you know, there's more to the story. You know, I turned Mitch on to a preacher named Stephen Furtick. You can get him online. There's more to the story. It's great. It's a good one for us because there's so much more to our stories. You know, where you're at now compared to where you're going to be. You know, if you keep clinging to God, you grab his hand and he leads you and takes you to crazy places. You know, places you never thought you'd be. And he'll take you further. You know, he'll take you into eternity. Forever. And it's got to be great. I read it somewhere in this book. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like. I imagine sometimes. I talk to people about it. We get there and we say, what do you think heaven's going to be like? And we all throw out our theories. And I love doing that, you know. And then we get more lost in what it could be like. You know, because somebody's idea, I'm like, whoa, I like that. I'll take a little bit of that part of heaven with me. I heard somebody say they wanted to go to 80s heaven once. Because the 80s were cooler. So I don't think there's an 80s heaven, but I don't know. I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. I'd get a mullet again. You know? But in this book, how I live my life is described what was really going on. It was Satan. Satan had me in his control. And he formed weapons to use against me. Right? And God turned them around now. And he's using them for good. You know, because I've been through it. And now where I'm at is like the first person you talk to in my house is going to be me. Usually. So I have a story to tell a new guy. You know, and that's why I went through all the things I went through in my life. I used to blame God. It was all your fault. You got it out for me. But they were all massive lessons. I lived because I didn't do drugs till I was like 13. So whatever the math is on that, 23 years, 30 some years of a big long lesson on what I'm doing now. You know, the thing I never thought I'd be doing. Because I'm a welder and a fabricator. You know, I'm not a counselor. I'm not well-spoken. I'm not Moses, you know. But I have a story, you know, and new guys, I mean, there's a lot of my guys right here, and they make me the most nervous, you know, the bad section right there. But, I mean, that's what my whole life was. It was one big lesson to give to these guys, a story to tell, you know, to tell them about, because I'm just like them. I've did one thing they've all did, and they've did some of the stuff that I've did, and we have a common bond, and I found a solution that's working for me, you know, and I believe that God is the solution to everything in your life. I mean, I heard somebody today say they hope they get it, and there's one way to know when you're going to get it is when you grab God's hand, you know. That's all you need is God. And he does everything. He wants to. He wants to help you. It makes him smile when he gives you stuff. You know, and he loves us so much. He's did so much for us. He sacrificed his only son because he wanted to, you know, there was a bridge, a chasm. And Jesus built the bridge so we can walk with him in the garden again, you know, because he used to walk with Adam and Eve. He used to chill on the rocks by streams, talking about crazy stuff. I don't know what God would talk about. Probably love and stuff like that, you know. But it's cool. I mean, because I'm at peace. I got, you know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and right now I walk in peace. I mean, nothing sticks to me anymore. It's hard to build a resentment anymore because I know, you know. I see a lot of me in other people, you know. I was uncontrollable. And if I can get it, anybody can get it. As far as I know, I mean, God can do anything. Look what he did to the Red Sea. Look at this planet he created for us, you know, with all the beautiful things in it. I went to West Virginia the other day, a couple weeks ago, and listened to Christian songs, driving through the mountains, crying, because it is. It's everything he made for us. Everything he does is for us, you know. And there's no clock. I don't know how long I've been talking. Okay. So I'm getting close. But I, you know, just, I hope you guys get with God and let him clean you up. Let him take your burdens and your worries and your shame and your stains, and let him take all that for you, you know. Leave it at the cross, and he'll, you know, rise above it. He'll make you rise above it. Everything you've did, he can reverse everything. He is the great restorer of everything. I mean, he cheated death. He didn't cheat it, he mastered it, you know, and we can too. And he wants us to, because he wants to chill out with us up in heaven. And that's all I got.